6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcia to the right. Big shot. Score! Shay Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3. 2.3 to go. Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores. David Perron wins it. Up top for Kopitar. Feed to the right. Shot. Stopped by Fleury.
Shay Theodore is fourth, and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in to Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Monday, right after All-Star Weekend, getting ready for the ceremonial second half of the Golden Knights season. They will be in action again tomorrow night from Calgary. 5:30 for the pregame, 6 o'clock for puck drop. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. And Frank, it is great to see you looking fit and healthy again.
Well, let's not overblow it a little bit. Fitter and healthier, but still far from fit and healthy. But yes, it's nice to almost be able to turn my head again and not have my headphones touching the collar. That doctor said that I don't need it anymore, that I'm on a road to a full recovery. So, very freeing. My neck doesn't itch right now either.
That is fantastic. News. Also, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace joining us on a day where Gerard Gallant gets to celebrate another couple victories. What's new?
Yeah, nothing really. Nothing at all. It's just what we've come to expect from Gerard Gallant and really any Golden Knights. And you look at Marc-Andre Fleury, he played really well in the All-Star game. You look at James Neal, had a couple of goals. He played well too. So no surprise. No surprise at all. But really, let's just talk about Frank not having to wear his neck brace anymore. I mean, this is something that we've been waiting for. Like, Clayton and I have been waiting for it for a long time. Frank, it's been driving you crazy. So it's just great to see you back and up and around. And now you can move your neck. So everybody watch out. This guy's coming for everything, for everybody.
Hopefully, and hopefully this All-Star weekend was a precursor to what we see at the end of the season with Marc-Andre Fleury kind of getting a three-peat, winning the goalie challenge and winning both games. Hopefully that will extend to the Stanley Cup as well.
The only thing that was sad about his performance on Saturday night was that NBC chose to talk through it and do interviews while Marc-Andre Fleury was stopping 13 shots in a row.
I don't know why you're complaining about how NBC does things. It's become second nature that they're going to screw something up. Mm-hmm. So why not that? Like, why not Marc-Andre Fleury goes 14-14? Why not screw that up?
Yep.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, we all know that All-Star games are just story time for every announcer and everybody that swings by the booth or whatever, yeah. Right? I mean, there's no sense describing what's actually going on in the field or the ice or anything else like that, because that's not what you're tuned in for. I kind of was, but apparently most people aren't.
How bad is Jeremy Roenick, by the way? Like, just in his capacity as whatever it is he is, the on-ice interviewer. I mean, he actually asked this question of Alexander Ovechkin after Alex Ovechkin won the hardest shot competition. He asked Alex Ovechkin, and I quote, "Alex, is it just about how hard you shoot the puck, or is it accuracy?" And Ovechkin looked at him and said, "I think it's how hard you shoot the puck." Like, that was a legitimate question.
You know what's really sad is that Jeremy Roenick, the guy doing those interviews, was completely blown away by the kid on the red carpet for interviews.
Oh no, it's not even close.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
Yeah, yeah. I've never understood the whole in-game interview thing. Particularly while something is happening during the run of play, whether it be an All-Star game, a regular season game, it doesn't matter. Let it go.
In fairness to JR, it was after the event was over. However, there was another thing that he did during one of the intermissions where he was talking about how fast Connor McDavid skates. And to paint the picture, JR said, "You know, I was down there on the ice when Connor McDavid was skating for the fastest skater, and he came within 3 inches of me. And you know that I like to put a lot of hair gel in my hair. It blew my hair away." That's not painting the visual for us, JR. You're bad. Just stop.
Yeah. It also didn't blow his hair back, because there's way too much gel.
Yes, exactly.
For that to ever happen. But you know when interviews are good, though? They're good after the game.
Yes.
They're good after you've won.
True.
And that's what Gary Lawless got to do. He caught up with Gerard Gallant after his victory in the All-Star game to ask him about the game plan that he put in and how much fun it was and sort of when they decided to go full steam.
It was fun. The players played hard. I thought that especially that last game, I think that both ends were going real hard. And, you know, guys were doing real good. And a lot of fun.
Did you coach at all? Did you make an adjustment or a tweak or anything?
No, we didn't coach at all. We just let the guys play. We put their lines together before the game started and just let them go play.
Well, let's talk about your two guys first. James Neal has a real big goal for you, and then the empty netter in the first one. How did he play?
He played real good. James worked hard, and like I said, he played with Connor McDavid and Brett Burns out there, and they look really good, and they played hard. And like you said, Neely's a goal scorer, and he finishes plays real well.
And what about Marc-Andre Fleury?
He was outstanding. Mark makes some great saves, and even when he got beat, the crossbar and the post was there for him a few times, but he played outstanding. He was real good, and good for Mark.
Drew Doughty, this sort of seems like it's the perfect form for him. He's pretty good in this situation.
He's a talented guy, and you've seen that one-time shot that he beat the goaltender with. But no, they have fun out there, and they're laughing on the bench the whole time, and when they go on the ice, they work hard, and they show their skill.
Back to Vegas, and a big game on Tuesday.
Yeah, back to Vegas, and then we go to Calgary Monday morning and a big game Tuesday, so right back at it.
And that's the best thing about head coach Gerard Gallant. You can't tell whether that was an exhibition game in the All-Star game or whether that was game number 15 on the schedule or game number 61.
I like that he said he didn't coach.
I do, too. So, you know, we put the lines together the night before, and I'll let the guys go out there and play.
I call a little bit of shenanigans on that because James Neal was back-checking in that championship game. I'm just saying. Like, the guys, they were bought in. They wanted the $1 million.
Oh, they definitely did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you could tell. Like, there were moments where Connor McDavid would come back on the back check and strip a guy of the puck, and it was almost like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Yeah, there were a couple of players out there that said that they'd never seen that kind of back checking in an All-Star game before.
Alex Ovechkin was back checking. I mean, that's ridiculous.
He doesn't do it for his team, but he does it for the All-Star team.
For $1 million, I'll back check. Absolutely. For Stanley Cup, not so much.
Yeah. What are we going to see next? During the NBA All-Star game, are we going to see defense played?
Get out of town, Frank.
You know, my only question about it with the team and that kind of stuff and the $1 million. Do they send a portion of that to Jonathan Quick for allowing them to win with the way he's been playing lately? Because the Pacific might not have won it if he was the other goalie.
That's a good point. I don't know. I know that, and I'm not sure if I'm breaking the news or anything because I know we had some news stuff, but Jonathan Quick is on IR. So
no,
there's that.
I know, and I knew that he was going on there.
Minor injury turning into something a little bit bigger.
Mm.
For Jonathan Quick.
Jonathan Quick. Well, James Neal did have himself a hockey game, not one, but two goals, and he looked pretty good out there with Brett Burns and Connor McDavid.
Caught by Burns. Head fake. Given across for the feed to Neal. Score! James Neal.
That was okay. Tremendous, tremendous play here by Burns. Tremendous play by McDavid. Look at the puck movement here. Good vision, good finish. Terrific play all around. Good looking stuff.
And worked on by Wheeler. Then taken away. And it's McDavid with the net empty. Poked away by PK Subban. And then it's McDavid again. And a chance now is moving in and scoring is James Neal.
It was James Neal. Doc Emmerich on the call. That first goal, what a beaut.
Yeah, no, it was a really nice passing play. It really was. And James Neal's got one of the best shots on that team. And it's no surprise to me that Connor McDavid, the guy that can't score on a breakaway and only can set things up for other guys, was playing with the sniper.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought it was a really fun weekend. I enjoyed the skills competition. And I love the 3-on-3. Now, I know Ryan and I do. Were you more sold on it in the All-Star game? Did you like it any more whatsoever, Clayton?
It doesn't bother me so much in the All-Star game with the format that they have. It would still be better if there were more guys on the ice. But, no, I don't care for the All-Star game. I still think it's a silly way to determine a National Hockey League regular season game.
Well, at least it's not an All-Star game where the winner gets home ice advantage.
Right, exactly. So there wasn't that to contend with. But Gary Lawless did catch up with the James Neal and ask him what makes this All-Star game so fun.
I think with the new format, the 3-on-3, it gives guys an opportunity to show their skills. And, it was on full display tonight.
What? Why did you guys work together so well as a group? Because you were right away, it seemed like you guys knew where one another were going to be. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, the best players in the world. So I think guys read off each other pretty fast and get to know each other. And I think from watching guys all the time, and you know, you pick up tendencies. So it was a lot of fun. Guys were just flying around out there. Like I said, with the 3-on-3, it gives that guy's ability to do that.
You take tonight and just kind of relax, and then kind of get your mind back on the rest of the season tomorrow?
Exactly. Just go have a nice dinner, get some sleep, and then off to Calgary tomorrow and refocus.
How excited are you about the rest of the season back in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Our team's been great so far, first half, going in the second half here. So as long as we keep playing consistent, we'll be fine.
That was James Neal getting ready to rack up the frequent flyer miles, coming back from Tampa to Vegas, and then they were off to Calgary this morning.
Yeah, and not a bad way if you're going to go down to Tampa from Vegas and that, taking that private jet and everything that they had down there. So and a very nice weekend. You get to go down to Tampa. Fleury wins his 25K for the competition. They all get a piece of the $1 million for winning as a team. So go to Tampa on a private jet and get rewarded with a little extra paycheck on top of it. Not a bad way to spend the weekend.
Yeah, and they also prevented Brad Marchand from winning the money. So
that might have been the best part.
I think that's the best part.
That was pretty good stuff. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And Marc-Andre Fleury, as you had mentioned, a key piece to the whole weekend, wins the breakaway shootout challenge there, and also was instrumental in both of their wins during the regular All-Star game.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things too. It's like, you know, I used to joke a few years ago that the All-Star game might be the goalie might be the one position that you don't want to be named as an All-Star, because guys are shooting at you so much and everything. But these guys are so good today that they're still not necessarily high-scoring games. I mean, the goalies really get to show what they're capable of doing as well. Generally, when these goals are scored in this game, it's because the goalie had no chance whatsoever because of the puck movement, like we saw with some of those goals there we just played with James Neal. But the goaltending is outstanding, and some of the saves made are just incredible.
Like this one from Marc-Andre Fleury with Brad Marchand right on his doorstep.
You think the solid wall? Look at this. Marchand in. Scooped up. And a wonderful save made there by Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury doing dirty to the dirty man.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, he played 2 10-minute periods, so 20 minutes total, and only allowed 2 goals? Pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny too, because I don't know about you guys, but when I saw him make that save, the last time that we were at City National, when he was working on stuff and he gave up a couple goals and then he refocused and he came back, they were almost identical to that save that he made right there that we saw with the glove save, just like he did in the competition when he made his streak of 14 straight. It was kind of like the same thing that we literally saw him working on just a couple days earlier.
Yeah, and he was spectacular. Gary Lawless also spoke with Marc-Andre Fleury. He asked him, at what point does it stop being fun and do the competitive juices start flowing?
You know, the first game, maybe it was a little more skills, you know, out there. But I thought the second one, you know, for your pride, you want to win it. You know, you're there. So I thought guys played a little harder, and you don't be messing up, you know. So it was fun.
You were a little worried about all the shots and what might happen. This wasn't bad at all. You turned it fantastic.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I think finally I can get my goals against down a bit, you know, in the All-Star game, so it was good. But, you know, the guys played hard in front too, right? I got a couple posts in this game too, so it was, I don't know, posts have been nice to me in this weekend.
You know, Dave's question is interesting. Like, it's all fun and everything, and then at what point in time, sort of, or at, you know, what after the halftime of the second game, was it like, hey, let's try and finish this, let's try and win?
I think so. I think right from the start, I think guys knew, you know, we thought about, you know, it would be good to win, right? Like, just for pride and stuff. And, you know, I think when we scored a couple goals and, you know, they got a couple, but our pace went up, I think, maybe, you know, midway through that first period. And it was good. It was fun to watch.
And James had a pretty good pretty game. He was talking about you, how well you played. He played pretty nicely too.
Yeah, for sure. He scored a big goal for us that first game, you know, and was it empty net, I think, second one. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, first one was nice. I'm glad I got to spend this weekend with him and share this honor to represent our team together.
Did Turk say anything on the bench, or was he pretty quiet?
Not much. He didn't have. He didn't put on the game plan. You know, I just let the guys play. But
that was Marc-Andre Fleury, typical Fleury interview.
Yeah, and Fleury, I thought he played incredible. I thought James Neal was great as well. But, you know, I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind it would be nice to see James Neal get the MVP for the thing. But, boy, I don't know that they could have made a better choice. Brock Besser, we talked about him before the season started, the only rookie on the team, and what a weekend for him as well. I mean, that kid was incredible with the shooting, the accuracy, and then what he did in the All-Star game.
Yeah, he certainly was, and that's what I'll take away from this weekend was just how much fun Brock Besser and Johnny Gaudreau are to watch play hockey. What stood out for you guys?
So there were two things that stood out to me. One, Connor McDavid cannot score. It is a physical impossibility for Connor McDavid to score on a breakaway. He had 15 and scored zero goals. The second thing is I feel like this was the like high watermark for the NHL allowing themselves to have fun. There was a span where Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel did the Austin Matthews, it's a good goal point, after a goal was disallowed on a coach's challenge in an All-Star game for offside violation. Wes McCauley got his moment to shine with his dramatic goal call. And it seemed like everybody, for a minute, forgot that Brad Marchand is a piece of garbage because he was so fun all over the entire weekend. But I feel like Gary Bettman's going to go back. He's going to like watch that stretch and see Brad Marchand rolling around while under a suspension, rolling around, trying to pretend like he's hurt after a trip, trying to draw a larger penalty. And I think he's going to say, oh, man, we had too much fun. So, like, we're going to do what we did when John Scott was a thing. Like, we're going to just try to hammer all the fun out of the weekend from now on, from this point forward. So enjoy it while you had it, because this was probably the most fun the All-Star game is going to be for a very long time.
What stood out to me a little bit was I enjoyed Saturday watching the skills competitions and the different things, and I liked it when the guys were getting frustrated, especially Drew Doughty, when things weren't going their way, and you could see it on their faces and it, you know, the different things like that. But also just with the 3-on-3 format and the way it is, the open ice and getting to see the skill of these guys and what they can do and how good the goalies are and everything else out there as well. And then, like Ryan said, I love the fact that Marchand was trying to make it look like he was a good guy and people were kind of buying into it and how he went to the ice and faked like he had a cut when he got tripped or whatever, and he was having fun with it. But then the fact that he didn't get part of that check, I thought, was the ultimate reward, because sometimes karma can be a certain thing.
Mm. Well, the best thing about Marchand, and this is another takeaway, is anybody that questions if Tampa is a hockey market just needs to stop. Obviously, they've won a Stanley Cup. They've been around for a long time. There's a lot of stability there in Tampa. But the fact that Brad Marchand was incessantly booed the entire weekend, even though he was playing with other Lightning players. Mm-hmm. Like, there's that moral dilemma. Like, do I boo the garbage just because he's playing with my favorite player? Yes, I do. And it wasn't even a second thought. And I loved the response from the Tampa fans. It was fantastic.
Yeah, just a fun weekend all around. Some other fun was happening. The hometown, you said, a lot of players, they didn't get it all done when it came to the All-Star game. But the East did win the mascot showdown hockey game. And Thunderbug, the mascot of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the MVP of the game.
Yeah, it was fixed.
That's what I said when he told it. I mean, it's like was that televised someplace? I don't remember seeing that.
Thunderbug.
He led the East to a 5-4 win. Got the winning assist from Stormy the Pig, the mascot of the Carolina Hurricanes, able to beat Wild Wing of the Ducks, who was playing in goal.
Well, he's the only mascot with pads.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
he's got the built-in mask as well. Yeah. On his face. Stinger of the Columbus Blue Jackets also had two goals, and Howler the Coyote scored twice for the Western Conference. No confirmation or denial about whether or not Chance hit the scoreboard. We do not know.
That's unfortunate. I figured that William Karlsson would just go to the All-Star game as Chance and just score like 7 goals in the showcase, but clearly he did not do that.
He did not.
I did see Chance, his Twitter photo of the rookie mascot class of this year, and he looked like he was kind of in the euchre seats out there all by himself.
He was all by himself, but he was recently rated over the weekend by Hockey News, Chance was, as the 12th best mascot in the NHL. Behind, coming in at number three was S.J. Sharkey of the Sharks.
Yes, that's good.
Number two was Wild Wings of the Ducks.
He couldn't even save a puck. Come on, it's ridiculous.
And the number one mascot in all of the NHL, Bailey of the LA Kings.
That's a good one. That's truth right there.
Have Bailey's you ever had hilarious. Your picture taken with Bailey?
No, I haven't.
Because our buddy, Doug Marsh, he loves the selfies with the mascots.
Yeah,
and I know when he saw Bailey at the NHL red carpet.
Yeah.
I think he was more excited about that than most of the players.
Yeah. Well, my daughter has a picture with Bailey. Mm-hmm. I don't need a picture with Bailey. I'll just like hang out with him after the game or
something.
You'll
just know that he's number one. Coming in at the bottom of the list, and there are only 29. Mm-hmm. No. Rangers and Flyers, I believe, don't have the...
They don't need no stinking mascot.
The mascot. Coming in at number 27 is Stormy the Pig of the Carolina Hurricanes. Number 28 is Victor E. Green from Dallas. See what they did there? Because they wear Victory Green.
I got it.
He is Victor E. Green.
Yep. And that's why he's second to last. Too.
And last, Al the Octopus in Detroit.
So... Like, Chance is clearly better than pretty much all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cut it. Let's cut the garbage. 12, not okay.
I have to be honest with you. I wouldn't have. I don't know most of the team's mascots because I really don't pay attention. But why is Stormy the Pig for Carolina? Is it because the pig's tail looks like a tornado?
No, I assume it's barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue. Barbecue is a big deal. Though.
Which, if you think about it, it would make any sense.
It's kind of the pig. Well, it sounds more like it belongs in Nashville than Carolina.
It makes it sick.
It's sad. Like
sad.
Kids are going to grow up and they're going to be like, oh, well, it's because of barbecue, and then all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh my gosh, you guys are eating the mascot?
Yeah, it's a moral dilemma.
Yes, it is.
But
not for some people.
Not for some people.
I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Good times in the All-Star game. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the breaking news and also look at some of the questions facing teams for the second half of the season. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, and it is a shame that all of you were at commercial break instead of in here with us because the mascot discussion off the air was spectacular.
Part of it was mascot destruction.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I'm with you though, Ryan. I think Chance is going to move up the board here in the next few years.
Or he'll spit poisonous venom on the other voters.
I'm with you.
For the adults in Las Vegas that were complaining about Chance, literally, go out and look up this list.
Go to the hockey news.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And tell us that Chance isn't better than 90% of the other ones.
Absolutely.
He's Carolina fantastic. Hurricanes one is horrible.
Well, Detroit isn't even a person.
It's a balloon that comes down from the ceiling.
That's not a mascot. It's a balloon.
It's a prop.
Put it in a car dealer and try to sell something.
Yeah. Really bad. Yeah, go to hockeynews.com. You'll find the articles from the 25th, and you can pick for yourself. But yeah, Chance, awesome. He's a poisonous lizard. That's cool. We have some news, not just Jonathan Quick going to IR, but Jacob Trouba as well, the defenseman from Winnipeg, expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks because of an ankle injury.
That's not good. That's not good at all. I mean, they'll be fine. I think Winnipeg is sneaky good. They're one of those teams that should be right at the top challenging for the division, and you know, this will set them back a little bit, but I think they're deep enough, both offensively and defensively, to get by without Trouba.
This story will make you sad, Ryan, because it could be the end of the discussions that Jaromir Jagr has cleared waivers after being waived. He is expected to return to HC Kladno of the Czech League. You could be saying goodbye to Jaromir Jagr.
See, you would expect that. You would think that. Any logical person would say Jaromir Jagr is going on waivers. He couldn't hack it with a fast, young, skilled team. And yet... there I was yesterday, and the little notification ticker went off, and a few people were saying, hey, now's the time, Golden Knights, to strike while the iron's hot and grab Jaromir Jagr, because clearly being waived by a team that plays almost the identical style that you play, and you couldn't hack it there, that means you will automatically be an upgrade on the Vegas Golden Knights, and you know, I would love to see a day where Jaromir Jagr comes here, moves Alex Tuch to the fourth line, or God forbid, back to the AHL. And then what happens from there? The team implodes, they don't make the playoffs, and it's all Jaromir Jagr's fault and the three people in town that actually want him to come here.
It actually happened. I still don't understand why it says that the Flames have assigned him to his Czech Republic team. I thought they waived him.
Yeah.
Well, he cleared waivers. He's still property.
So he's property of them. So they sent him over there and said, go over there and make yourself happy.
Instead of going to the AHL.
Yep. By the way, if you want job security, go to the team that you basically own.
Mm-hmm. He is not on the Czech Olympic team because those had to be finalized on Thursday. But he was on the provisional roster, which means if he completes all of his retirement paperwork and there is an quote-unquote injury to a current player that is on the named roster, he could be from the pool of replacements.
Well, I fully expect somebody to come down with an undisclosed.
Undisclosed
is... Jaromir Jagr will play in the Olympics this
undisclosed
year.
Undisclosed or tough to heal.
Yep. Are you implying that there could be some kind of shenanigans?
No, I truly believe that somebody is going to get hurt and Jaromir Jagr will play in the Olympics.
So it will be a legit injury.
Well, undisclosed injuries are legit injuries, Frank.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
We all know this.
Yes.
Will it be an upper or lower body one is what I want to know.
Part of being an undisclosed injury is that you don't need to disclose any other information.
Yeah. It floats around the body. The New York Islanders have announced that they will play 12 regular season games at Nassau Coliseum next season and 48 more during the 2019-2020 and the 2020-21 seasons as they phase themselves out of the Barclays Center in Brooklyn before heading to the new arena at Belmont Park.
I don't think anyone's happier about this than Steve Karp.
Yes.
Like, let's just be real. Although what will be funny is if next year when the Golden Knights go to play in Long Island, if that'll be one of the games where they're playing at Barclays. I hope that's the case.
You know what would be even funnier? Is it to put a car in Nassau Coliseum for the games?
Oh, that'd be great. Yes.
Yes.
Like, all the advertising dollars we got from the car, we're just going to bring that back over to
we
Nassau.
We need it. We're taking out a couple of seats because we need the car.
You don't want to return the money because I'm sure they prepaid.
Yeah, I mean, the moral of the story is don't put a hockey team in a basketball arena.
Yeah.
Expect it to work.
That is correct.
How does that work if you buy season tickets, though, and you have to go to different venues? Do you have the Nassau Coliseum plan and then the other plan?
Maybe they'll make a plan out of it. We'll see.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So let's look, guys. NHL.com has come out with some storylines, some trade deadline news, things to watch and look at. Let's get your reaction on it. There are teams that have a couple of weeks here to decide whether or not they are buyers or sellers. They have indicated that Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit, Vancouver, all on the seller's market. Any arguments there?
No.
No. Montreal and Edmonton are the two teams that have to make a decision as to whether they stay pat or sell. If you're Montreal, if you're Edmonton, which route do you go?
If you're Edmonton, you sell, but the problem is you don't have anything that you can sell. I mean, you need parts coming back your way. You need defense. You need depth scoring, and they don't have that, or they haven't developed that, and you're not going to be able to move Milan Lucic. So you sell, but you don't have anything to sell. And it's kind of the same situation with Vancouver, is that they don't have anything to sell. They've got the Sedins, but no team's going to take both of those guys on. And until they're off the books, it's going to handcuff what that organization can do. So I think they're both teams that would love to sell. They just can't sell anything and get appreciable return.
Yeah, I mean, unless they just want to sell just to dump somebody out and get rid of them or something like that. But then also, if you're selling it and you don't have pieces that other teams want, do you then eat part of that contract too and say, well, we'll still take up this part of it? So, yeah, I agree with Ryan. They don't really have much to offer anybody else out there. They put themselves in bad situations. So, I mean, they can try to sell. I just don't know what they're going to get. And fair market value, that's the other danger. When everybody knows that you're a seller, then all of a sudden, you know, your stuff isn't as valuable.
Yeah, and as far as Montreal goes, like, I want them to do the opposite of what I think they should do. So I think they should be sellers. I want them to go out and buy because they're absolutely delusional about what they have and what their product is on the ice. And I just can't wait to see how Mark Bergevin tries to fix all of the things that he's done wrong over the last 3 years in one trade deadline.
Well, we already know Edmondson's GM said a while back that they were going to all get through this together and ride this wave, and the coaching staff, the players and everything else, that they had the talent there.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Yeah, so we'll see. The even bigger question, Ryan, real quick answer, is does Mark Bergevin know that he's made mistakes? Has he admitted that to himself?
I mean, all you got to do is look at P.K. Subban's box scores every night and his stats and know that you screwed that one up. You got to look at Jonathan Drouin. What's he got, 6 goals on the year? Mm-hmm. I mean,
pace himself.
Every time Drouin and Galchenyuk are playing wing on the third line, that's a slap in the face to Mark Bergevin. Mm-hmm. And it happens every night.
Right. Let's just hope that he realizes that, or not hope.
No, I don't want him to realize it. I want him to continue to do these things that don't make any sense to anybody.
I'm wondering at one point, Carey Price says, you know what? I was better off when I was injured.
And he better do that soon before his massive contract kicks in.
It's decision time for the New York Rangers. Rangers have made the playoffs 7 years in a row, but they are sitting out of the playoffs right now. They have decisions to make on Rick Nash, Michael Grabner, David Desharnais, and Nick Holden, all of which are over 30 years old and become unrestricted free agents at the end of the season.
The problem with New York is they're so close to making the playoffs that even though they have assets they can sell off, I think they're going to hold pat and maybe buy to make a push. Unfortunately, I think their push is going to be misguided. They're going to miss the playoffs, and then they're going to lose people for free.
Well, and I always question teams like that. It's like, at what point do you say, okay, we're going to sell out, and we're going to try to hold things together just to make the playoffs this year and see if something's going to happen? And what time do you maybe start looking at big picture and say, you know what, it's time to make some moves, because this year, even if we make the playoffs, we're still not doing anything in them.
And they also have to consider Ryan McDonagh and Matt Zuccarello both have 1 year remaining on their contract. In the rental market, besides those New York Rangers, let me throw a couple of other names out there and see if they have any interest to any particular teams. Look at a couple of defensemen. Mike Green from the Detroit Red Wings and Eric Gunbranson from the Vancouver Canucks. And Jack Johnson from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I wouldn't touch Jack Johnson, not at all. And the main reason for that is Jack Johnson wants out because he wants another contract. And I think whatever team ends up taking him is going to give him a contract. So I'm looking at this from a Golden Knights perspective. I wouldn't touch Jack Johnson. I don't think he fits in the long-term plans. If I am a Golden Knight or I'm George McPhee, I think Mike Green would be a really, really good fit. There's a Twitter user at Hobbit311 who kind of came up with this about 6 minutes before Gary Lawless went with this on the air. Mike Green would be a power play specialist in a different way than Colin Miller or Shea Theodore, in that Mike Green likes to pass the puck on the power play. He's a quarterback, and he would really, really make the Golden Knights power play go. And if at the end of the year you say, you know what, we went all in on Mike Green to try to help us get some power play production in the playoffs and ultimately win a Stanley Cup, you can walk away from the contract. It's up at the end of the year. So it's a really good thing. He hasn't played that well, but then again, he's in Detroit where there isn't that much talent, so you could probably get him for cheap. I think Mike Green is a very good fit for the Golden Knights.
And sometimes just a change of scenery makes somebody start playing better if they're playing for something too. So Green is the one that you kind of said a lot of the stuff that I was thinking there, but Green is the one that I would be interested on that list.
You do have the Rangers at forwards there, the Michael Grabner and Rick Nash, as well as a Thomas Plekanec from Montreal. Other names that could be on the move are Evander Kane from Buffalo, Luke Shen from Arizona, and Thomas Vanek from Vancouver.
Evander Kane is an interesting one. I look at the Kings, and I could see Evander Kane fitting with the Kings only because of the style they play and the fact that he can score goals. But then again, I don't think anything's going to help the Kings right now. I think getting Jeff Carter back is going to be their big deadline acquisition. And even still, with Jeff Carter kind of solidifying the lines, I don't know that that's going to be enough for the Kings. I don't know that adding Evander Kane is going to be anything substantial for them either. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. I don't know. It's tough because the other side of the argument with Kane is, if you're not playing with Jack Eichel, are you that good of a player? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah, there's some people out there that think he's not that good even with Jack Eichel. I don't necessarily agree with them, but
one person.
But no, and the thing about it too is whenever you're doing any of this kind of stuff, the question that always comes to mind is how do they fit in with my roster and that, and do you want to mess with chemistry and that kind of stuff? I understand sometimes you're looking for that final piece or the piece that you think can maybe get you over the top. But if you have things going pretty well, like when you mentioned earlier the Vegas Golden Knights, that's the question you will have to ask about bringing anybody onto this roster or something. First off, whose place are they going to take, and do they fit in with the chemistry? Because this ragtag bunch of guys have so far worked out pretty well together.
And that's the thing. You have to figure out what your biggest weakness is, and you have to see if there's a piece out there that you can acquire to address that. Mike Green to the Golden Knights makes sense. It just simply makes sense.
Two of the biggest stars that could be on the move, John Tavares, who will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, still tinkering with the idea of returning to Long Island or continuing on and seeing what the free agent market has, and Erik Karlsson, who has 1 year remaining on his deal.
See, if I were the Senators, I'd trade Karlsson now. Like, I would trade Karlsson to somebody, let them get a year out of him, bring up, you know, have him be a rental, and then go from there and get something back. I don't know you're going to have a better opportunity to unload him and get something back in return, unless you kind of make a gamble on it, have him come back next year, see if he can have another one of his amazing career years statistically, because he hasn't been that great since his ankle surgery, but maybe double down on him next year to try to get more at next year's trade deadline. Maybe that's the route they go. As far as John Tavares goes, I think at this point, because the Islanders are kind of hanging around that wild card spot and they probably believe they could get in, Matt Barzal has been fantastic for them. I think the Islanders stay pat on John Tavares and hope that they can do something in the playoffs and hope that can nudge him in the right direction to say, hey, we're going to stay. But the problem with that is every single time John Tavares has found chemistry with a winger, they've been traded. So at some point, management has to show John Tavares, we're going to put the pieces around you for you to win a Stanley Cup. They haven't done so yet.
Yeah, and maybe they can convince him of that. Maybe with the new stadium coming your way and there being a little bit more excitement, and like you mentioned, they're only 1 point out of one of the two wild card spots. They have 55 points, New Jersey and Philadelphia, both there with 56 right now. So they are definitely right there on the cusp of making that wild card, and they've been playing better. We certainly saw this here at T-Mobile. But if I'm a guy who's trading for Tavares, ideally what I like to do is trade for him and get like a sign-in trade or something like that. But I have a feeling that Tavares probably isn't even interested in that, because what if you traded for him and you got him for this year and then he just goes right back to the Islanders anyhow because that's what he wants to do. So if everything worked out right, or if I really thought he was that one missing piece, maybe I'd do it. But I don't know if I'd do it just to mess up something else that might be going on right now, thinking that, well, we're really not going to keep him anyhow. I mean, how did that work out last year when Shattenkirk, when he went someplace, and then everybody knew he wasn't staying where he went?
Well, certainly whether or not it's just the remainder of this contract or whether it is an extension and trade would certainly change the asking price for what that would be. So we'll see how John Tavares handles this. Last one, guys. Colorado Avalanche, they are owning the second wild card in the playoffs. They do have 10 of the next 13 games before the deadline on the road, including two at the Jets and one at the Blues. If they hang in it, will Colorado add, stand pat, or they say punt and will play for next year?
See, the thing with Colorado is I don't know that they're going to add, but I think that would be them kind of going for it, and if that makes sense, because Joe Sakic was able to get rid of Matt Duchene, and because he was able to pocket a ton of prospects and a ton of picks, I think it would be unwise for him to then turn around and trade that without a guarantee that you're going to make the playoffs. So if I'm the Colorado Avalanche, I kind of do what Vegas does. I stay pat, I don't trade away any assets, and I see if this team and the chemistry and the combination can get them into the playoffs.
I think Colorado is happy with what they're doing right now, and they're going to roll the dice and see how this season plays out and then figure out in the offseason what they want to do down the road.
It certainly will be fun to watch as the deadline approaches. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. When we come back, we're going to go back to the All-Star game, back to the red carpet, and have a little fun.
Hey, I'm here with Marc-Andre Fleury. So, who are you wearing?
What am I wearing? Giovanni from Montreal.
if you weren't playing in the NHL, what would you be doing?
That's a good question. I always wanted to play in the NHL, so not sure. Maybe a cop, I think. Yeah.
Do you think your song choice for the save streak helped you win that?
Definitely. Definitely. Did you like it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good, right?
What's your position on Pirates?
My position? I don't mind them. I think they're having a good time this weekend too, so I like it.
Who here looks most like a pirate?
Johnny Gaudreau. Maybe I like James Neal. He's got like the nice hair, limping a bit when he's walking around, you know.
Is this the best red carpet interview you've ever had?
It is for sure. Good job to you.
Thank you.
Looking good too. Looking good.
Thank you. All right.
Awesome.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you. Have a good day, bud.
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, and that was 10-year-old Wyatt Ross, the NHL's junior reporter on the red carpet, putting Marc-Andre Fleury through the ringer.
Promote that kid to JR's job.
Yeah.
I was going to say, putting Marc-Andre Fleury through the ringer, but putting Jeremy Roenick to shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your position on Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
That's pretty good. And Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't the only one that had to suffer the hard questions of young Wyatt Ross. He got together with Johnny Gaudreau and laid this smack down on him.
My doctor said I'd get my growth spurt soon. How about you?
Hopefully I get mine soon too, buddy. I could use a couple more inches.
Wow.
Oh, this kid is my favorite.
Well, and how about and we didn't put everything that he did, but how about when he asked Connor McDavid about the salary cap?
Yeah, he's like, Connor, what's your position on the salary cap?
And so McDavid's like, that's a little deeper than I thought you were going to go.
The saddest thing about all of this is that John Tortorella was not a coach this weekend, and he couldn't have asked him about playing guilty.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That's the travesty of the weekend.
Yeah, Wyatt Ross is his name. You want to go to YouTube, just put in Wyatt Ross, NHL red carpet. You can see the entire thing. He talks to PK Subban. He talks to Connor McDavid, John Cooper.
Wow.
Hopefully we can get him down here during the All-Star festivities that they have out here, and he can ask everybody about the Vegas flu.
Can we just reach out to him and get him on the show? I just want him to interview me.
Right.
I wonder what he'd say to me.
Now, do you agree?
He might think
Mark...
you look like a pirate.
Yeah, that's true. Do you agree with Marc-Andre Fleury that James Neal, out of all the All-Stars, looks the most pirate-like?
No, not even close. Erik Karlsson is a pirate.
Yeah.
Like, he's a legit pirate. And he's even got, you know, like he's missing part of his ankle. Mm-hmm. He's got the weird facial hair that makes him look like a pirate, the long hair. I mean, he basically is Johnny Depp, but Johnny Depp that can play hockey.
Right. And then Brett Burns would be everyone on his crew.
Burns is one of the pirate workers.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, yeah
he's
not.
Henchman.
See, Brent Burns and Drew Doughty are certainly not captains of the ship.
No, not at all.
They are the deckmates. They are the ship hands. They're the ones that like get killed by the zombies first.
Right.
That is correct. The Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you never seen them, Chris Chapman? Are you kidding me? Like, every movie has a dead, like, undead pirates that kill a bunch of other people. What are you talking about?
I'm thinking more in the lines of the classics, like Lewis Carroll's Treasure Island or...
But this is a 10-year-old kid. He's not thinking on those terms.
Yeah. I'm not your age, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
What was the other big pirate movie?
Well, there's
Black Sails is on.
Yeah,
is
Black
on.
Sails.
That's a good one. There's no zombies in that.
Yeah, there are no
zombies. Brett Burns with a little, you know, with the eye patch and the bandana.
Brett Burns could definitely. And I'm going to give Marc-Andre Fleury a complete mulligan on this because I think the question completely threw him for a loop.
Yes.
And I think he was thinking of my teammates in that. Yep. So he mentioned the other all-star down there from Vegas, and he threw and he walks with a limp.
So if you go the rest of the team, the Golden Knights.
I'm going to go away from the Golden Knights really quick. Johnny Gaudreau would be the parrot.
Yes.
That's on the shoulder.
He's a little crazy. Right?
Well, and until he gets his growth spurt.
Right.
That's never going to happen. Yeah. No. And by that logic, then, like, you know, Brendan Leipzig would be the parrot.
You know,
Alex Tuck would be the captain.
You know who would make a good pirate from the Golden Knights?
Who?
Gary Lawless.
Yeah, I'll let you sit with that one.
Yeah.
Gary. Have fun with that.
Captain Gary.
You guys can talk about it the next time he's on the show.
Alex Tuck is way too nice to be a pirate captain.
No, I think he could do it.
You know, I could kind of see Colin Miller, wear the Captain Crunch hat. Like, if he had that pirate hat, that would be good.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Could you see John Merrill being one of the workers on the ship?
Yeah,
he could definitely be one of the workers.
Yeah, it would have to be John Merrill during training camp, though.
John Merrill pre-haircut.
Pre-haircut.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Of course. Well, the boys are all back in town. They flew up to Calgary today. We're going to see them tomorrow night, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock, a puck drop. And where are we going to be, Frank?
We are going to be over at Born and Raised in Henderson. And by the way, I think Derek England could be a Pirate.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. With the beard back.
Yeah, absolutely not a Pirate. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.